For the last few weeks, we have at one time or another had everyone, I believe, of our pastoral team have an opportunity to speak either on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, and we only have one left, and that's Pastor Tom Matrone, our music pastor, and we negotiated a little bit for him to be able to do an interview with me tonight and rather stand behind the pulpit and do a full-scale sermon. I have no doubt that he could do that. In fact, I believe fully that he could do it, but the price is right, so I let him off pretty easy this evening. And so Tom is going to come and join me up here, and we're just going to talk with each other a little bit this evening and get to know our music pastor in a new way, in a different way perhaps. Welcome, sir. Let's give Tom a good hand of welcome. Tom and I traveled, and Darlene traveled to Africa quite a few years ago. And if you want to get to know somebody well, you just travel with them for a while. And we traveled with one another and had a phenomenal time in the beautiful environment of South Africa, one of the most beautiful places on earth. And I'm sure that you learned a lot about me, and you bet your dollar I learned a lot about you.
I did.
And I've not forgotten any of it either. So.
And Don's about the only person that could get me up here. I'm not sure what it is about you, Don Tucker, but you talk me into things, and I say yes.
I promise to be good to you. He frightened me a while ago and said he was only going to give yes and no answers. And I said, if you do, I'll ask questions you never dreamed of. So I think it'll work well. Before we get into asking a few questions and just talking together this evening, I want to introduce Darlene, his lovely wife, to you. I think you know her well, but just in case you don't, Darlene, would you stand? Pastor Mike was helping me out a little while ago, and he told me of a newcomer that came here to Central Assembly some time back and had been coming here for about 3 weeks. And she came to Pastor Mike one day and said, Pastor says, I think you really need to take care of a little issue. He said, I've been watching that music pastor, and I hate to bring this up, but I'm just persuaded that there is something going on between him and the pianist. I've been watching how he looks at her, and it's just extremely flirtatious, and I just feel led in my heart to say this to you so that you can get this straight. Mike looked back and said, I can assure you something is going on between the music pastor and the pianist. So we appreciate you taking care of that, Mike. That was,
yes,
that was very, very important. Tom, I think the first question I want to ask you is a very significant one. Is it really true that you keep a bullwhip by the side of your podium in choir practice? They're here tonight, so.
Yeah, how many choir members are actually here? No.
They're all over the place.
No, we don't have a bullwhip. I mean, it's not a visual, a tangible bullwhip, but there are some eye signals, I think, that you know, we use.
Nonverbals.
Nonverbals, yeah. Yes.
That's what they told me. That's why I was asking you. That's why I was asking you about it. I get to go in and pray with the choir. Thank you for offering that opportunity every Sunday morning before the first service. And it's just a great moment to stop in there. And I never fail to marvel at the camaraderie that they have with one another and with you. And that shows very, very well. It has something to do with harmony, I think. And they come out here and do a tremendous job, and I know it's because you've done a great job of building a team environment in that issue. Why don't you start tonight by just sharing a little bit with what I'll call your backstory, those things that we might not know. We're not asking for any deep, dark secrets, but just what have been the circumstances or the events or the individuals in your life that have contributed significantly to making you who you are, what your worldview is. Just talk to us a little bit about who you are, Tom.
Okay. Well, I think the most significant thing for me, Don, is that, you know, I grew up in a non-Christian home, For the most part, my parents were Catholics, but they were not strong believers. And there are many Catholics who are very strong believers, but we were not part of that society, although my mother did take me to Mass. It was my sister, really, who, 15 years older than me, that led me to the Lord. She took me back in the late 60s to a Catholic charismatic prayer meeting. And as you remember, that on the West Coast, the Jesus movement was happening, and on the Northeast, the Catholics were having quite a charismatic revival. And I remember specifically on a Thursday evening, my sister taking me to the Church of the Holy Ghost, ironically, which is a Catholic parish in the Italian district of Providence. And there were a group of nuns who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they were in the basement of this parish. They weren't really allowed to go into the main auditorium to pray, but they were allowed on certain evenings to go and pray. And it started with a group of nuns just in a little huddle, and they were praying in the Spirit. And people were starting to find out about that, and so they would come just to hear the nuns pray. And so that crowd grew to about 300 people, and they would surround those nuns. And so my sister found out about it, and she took me. And I would go anywhere, you know, with my older sister. And so that was one of the first times that we had experienced Pentecost. And then the very next Sunday, we went to an interracial, multi-generational Pentecostal church with an African-American pastor and a kind of a white staff and a mixed congregation. And, it was the music that really touched me. And I didn't really understand about Jesus. I didn't even have a Bible. I didn't know what scriptures were. And so it was the music that kept drawing me back. And so I would beg to go back, and my sister would take me. And there was a choir. I had never heard of a choir in a church. And so, that was the part of the start of that significant journey for me. And I feel like God opened my heart through those people that were on the platform singing, and it was a very lively congregation, and I had never seen things like that. Quite frankly, we would go back on each Sunday just to see what they would do, because so many crazy things happened there. Good things, but there are some peculiarities in the Pentecostal church at times, and my dad was extremely upset with us because he was an Italian Catholic and did not want us going to any church that smacked of any Protestant, and especially a Pentecostal church. And he said, those people, they roll in the grass, and they come running out of the church and roll in the yard, and all kinds of things. And sometimes they did, but it really didn't matter to me, because I just couldn't wait to get back there every Sunday to see those people. And it was a very loving, nurturing congregation, and it was that music that started the journey for me to experience God and to know what it was like to have the Holy Spirit work in someone's life.
Other members of your family have these similar experiences, or just you?
No, it really was just me and my sister. I have two middle brothers, and then my extended family. No, we were all, grew up in the Northeast, the Italian Catholic world, and so no. That we were kind of on our own, mm-hmm. And I was about 12, 13 years old.
Tom, I've had a lot of experiences to travel widely in the U.S., and I think anybody in our congregation that has had that opportunity realizes what God has blessed us with here at Central Assembly in worship and praise and the incredible music program that we have. So much talent in our congregation, and so much skill in putting it all together and making it work. And if you've never traveled and see the extremes that you can run into in some of our churches, you don't have an opportunity to really know how blessed we are here at Central Assembly. And since you came to join us, how many years ago?
13.
13 years ago, wow. Since you came 13 years ago, I've kind of had my eyes on you in one way or the other, just watching you minister and watching how you... I like to watch how people lead people, and I've watched you in your ministry, and would just like to ask you, whenever you're getting ready to come out here on a Sunday morning with this beautiful building full of people hungry to sense God and release their hearts to the Lord, and you know that that responsibility that you've been looking for all week is coming to a critical point of exposure to the public. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? How do you process getting ready to walk out and help lead a congregation and lift them up in worship? Can you talk a little bit about how you prepare for that moment and what God does in your life for that?
Sure. I think a theme drops in my heart, and sometimes it starts with the text of a song. For instance, this morning, I had been very focused on the name of Jesus throughout the week, and thinking about this congregation and our choir ministry, all our musicians. And so sometimes it's built around the theme of a song, and we had started this new song called When I Speak Your Name. And the text of that song speaks to my heart specifically and then corporately, because I believe that so many people on a given Sunday morning come with lots of fears and anxieties through a tumultuous week, challenges in their life. And so I guess, Don, for me, I think about our congregation and even myself, what it's like to live Monday through Friday, and how important it is for us to come as a family on Sunday to gain strength and the increase of faith in our hearts. And there's just something that I learned as a child, actually, in that church back in East Providence about the corporate expression of singing and of faith and the power that comes when we gather with our brothers and sisters and find each other looking for the same types of things that build our life, that make us better people than when we came in the door. And hopefully we leave out of these doors with something to hold on. It's an eternal value that is taking place. So, and then the mechanics of looking at music and how you build a system of hopefully connecting people to God and to each other. I would like to think that we have hospitality in our worship, and you know, that word hospitality is more broad-based than sometimes we give it credit, because I think that you have to care about the people that you stand next to and sing next to. And when I look at this congregation, after all these years, you know, it is my family. And as much as I want to feed my children and take care of my children as I have, you know, they're those parts of the menu that must take place. And so that's how we build it.
Excellent, excellent. One of your choir members told me that you are a closet bluegrass fan and play the mandolin. Is that true?
No, that is not true. You would have known that by now.
We would
a
really
closet
like,
bluegrass.
We'd
okay.
really like for you to bring that out.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Where's Dave? David can do that for us, but yeah, that
from
doesn't happen.
From the applause, it sounds like we might have some folks that could help you if you
yeah,
want to get together.
I'm sure they could.
But it is true, if I'm not mistaken, I recall you telling us on a weeknight of your recent past that you do play a mean accordion. Is that true?
Yeah, and mean would be the operative word. I did start out with the accordion because most good Italian boys from the Northeast had accordions. And so I played in the Aruda accordion band, and I played an electric accordion that has no bass buttons here. It's the bottom half of a keyboard, if you've ever seen it, and it's very large. And I wasn't a big child, so that accordion sat on me, and I played all the bass notes, I think, meanly, in the accordion band, electric accordion band.
So,
that was quite a sound.
So what yeah. would it take for us to get you to do that again?
A lot. A whole lot. Yeah.
We'll wait till
I'm not sure you have enough money for that.
We'll wait till a new budget year comes along and then see what we can do. Is it true that you used to sing in a Southern quartet?
No.
I'm telling you. These choir members fill me full of stuff.
Yeah,
about
I'm
you.
Sure I, they have. Although I have listened to a few Southern quartets and I can play their style a little bit, but no.
Can you?
No, I did not sing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, any other secrets that you never sang in the circus or anything like that? No.
Well, like, you know, that's could be debated.
You and Darlene are certainly a great team, have been the whole 13 years that you've been here among us, and we appreciate you both. Tell us a little bit about how you two got together and your life became one. And
boy, Don really knows how to get you talking, doesn't he? Wow. Well, interestingly enough,
you answer it or I'll ask her.
Yeah. She may want to come up here and tell us. No, she's saying no. Well, I graduated from my first college, Zion Bible College. And my first job was in Sandusky, Ohio. Does anybody know where that's at? Between Cleveland and Toledo? Yes, Cedar Point. Exactly, Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike's been in Toledo, worked in Toledo. And, you know, ironically, Don, the pastor came and met me in a chapel service at that school. I had played in a chapel, and he met me at the back door and asked me if I would consider being their music director. And, you know, on the Northeast back then, we didn't know full-time music directors. And the AG presence was much smaller, and there were not full-time staffs in churches. And so I thought, wow, that's interesting. Because really, I was not on my way to do music. I wanted to be a social worker in the city of Providence. And I'll let you in on a little secret that I used to interpret for the deaf.
Uh-oh.
So I did sign language for many, many years, and I'm not going to do that for you tonight, so don't ask me to do that. But I had what I felt was a call to work in social services with the hearing impaired, and God had a different plan for me. And so I took a few days to pray about going to this place called Sandusky, Ohio. Another thing you have to understand is that my dad taught me that there really were no people that lived past New York City. In the United States. And so, and especially Italians, we just didn't think that anybody who was Italian, they just did not go past the George Washington Bridge in New York City. And so I didn't know anything about Cleveland and Sandusky. And so, but I called this pastor and I said yes. And I graduated and I went on tour with this choir that I sang in. And I had never seen the church, but this choir had booked this church. So I went to the church for the first time, and I was their music director. They didn't really know me, and I didn't know them. And so I went back to Rhode Island after the choir tour, took one little box with me, and moved to Sandusky, Ohio. Well, the very first Sunday, I was there, and they had announced that we were going to start a choir in this church. They had not had a choir for a while. And I had just turned 20 years old. And so I went to this church. And the very first Sunday, I met this lovely young girl, I won't tell you how young she was, but who said that she was interested in playing for the choir, and they said, well, she's the best sight reader that we have in the church. It was about a church of 200, 250, and that was Darlene. And that was 34 years ago. She looks pretty good for being 65 years old, doesn't she? No, I'm only kidding.
She was considerably in your office. Yeah.
She was considerably younger, but that's we met, and I think we started that choir within a few weeks, and we started with 36 people who committed their time to us, and that was a long time ago, and we did not start dating though for a few years. And we have been married, it'll be 28 years in just a few weeks. But she has been with me from that very first Sunday, actually. And we've not missed a whole lot of Sundays in almost 34 years. And so we do consider ourselves a team, and we don't make any apologies about that. I felt that God spoke to me and spoke to her. Maybe I better not go there. But I do believe that the Lord put us together. I better be really careful here.
So what was the name of that choir? Did it have a name?
No, it was just Faith Memorial Church.
Okay, it's
the Assembly
church
of God Church.
Didn't travel or anything?
No, we had a small group that did travel. Mm-hmm. And Darlene was still in school, obviously.
Okay.
I won't tell you what grade level
well,
she was
young. Wow.
She was young, actually. I'm 6 years older than her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She hasn't grown as old as I have.
We can see that.
Yeah.
Tom, here in Springfield, you've done a lot of things, and of course now you serve as National Music Department leader in the General Council just up the street from us, and we're honored by having you there in that position. But one of the things that you have had an opportunity to do is work a great deal in our schools here, Evangel University and Central Bible College, and through that contact, both there and here, it's very evident that you have a lot of contact and a lot of input into the lives of students. We have a lot of students that come here, at least initially, attracted by our music program. They become part of it. They're here on the platform with you quite frequently. In your ministry of mentoring these young adults and those who are just wanting to get started in music and worship ministry, what's your strongest advice for them? How do you counsel them, and what do you try to implant in their minds and hearts about doing music and worship in the church?
I think that have grown in that aspect of the mentoring and young students, and what we really talk about nowadays, and that really is Don character. Formation, forming character and forming a heart and being authentic about your approach to worship and authentic about who you are in the Lord and having a dignity about that. It's a very challenging time in church music, and I don't say that lightly. I think it's a wonderful opportunity and wonderful experience. But it is a challenging time as we grow into all kinds of new phases, and each church does things so differently. We have such talented students at Evangel and CBC, and it's one of my greatest passions outside of being here with you in this church to help younger people be real about their experience with their Lord. Be real about their educational experience, be real about the church, and knowing that a church is so much of a spiritual hospital, and that we're not just picking music that pleases us all the time, and that we do things specifically with purpose, and then their own personal lives of forming a character that has integrity in their life and integrity in the music that they pick. And the people that they work with, we have to be so careful in the church, because it really is not a performance, although we do perform in ministry, if you'll understand what I'm saying, but it is not a stage for acting. It is a stage for reality. And so I'm on a journey with them as well, you know, as we learn to grow together. I teach worship leadership at CBC, and I mentor worship leaders at Evangel, and We're growing together as we experience what it is that God may be leading us into.
It's a tremendous investment you're making, Tom, for other churches and other places, and we appreciate you putting your heart into that effort. These folks out here tonight that are here for this Sunday evening service, most of them are here every Sunday evening, and they're the people that are sprinkled, many of them, right where they're sitting tonight. That's where they sit on Sunday morning. Others move around on Sunday night, but they're the same folks that are here on Sunday morning, faithful and steadfast, and these are the people that you lead, that you strive to bring together and lift into the warm presence of the Lord, and that's such an incredible commodity here in this church. It's just priceless. But here's a chance for you to look at these folks and tell them what you wish for them, what you hope for them, what are you striving for. When you walk out here on a Sunday morning and you see your choir behind you and this congregation in front of you, what's in your heart that you really want to see God do in and through these people? And at the same time, how can they help lift our entire congregation into the presence of the Lord in worship?
Well, I thank you for that opportunity to share. You know, it's a little bit of an emotional experience being up here talking to you without, you know, music being the background vehicle for this moment. We came here 13 years ago, and to be quite honest with you, you know, we were living in Des Moines, and I had gone to the university there and had finished my master's in choral conducting, and we were happy. Our children were small, and I got a call from two pastors that were here at that time, and I didn't know who they were, and I really didn't know much about Central except that I had been here back in the old building because I used to work with Teen Talent. That's what we used to call Fine Arts Festival. It's really showing my age, but and I knew Springfield only for the things that I would come and do here if they asked me to come speak at something or to conduct, and so I didn't really want to move to Springfield. I just didn't feel like that was the place for me, and it took me about 6 weeks to make that decision to come here, and I wanted to make sure that I knew that God was really calling us, and actually Darlene had quite a word from the Lord about us coming here, and so we were very, very serious about our journey here, and I'm the type of guy that, you know, comes into a place and basically thinks, you know, everyone's going to get along really well, and we're just going to be one big happy family. I mean, I like to think that people will like me, and I'm going to like them, and I've always been excited about my music, and you know, the choir, right from the very beginning, we had really a great marriage. I remember that very first rehearsal on a Wednesday night, and it was October 1st, I believe, or was it October 3rd, our anniversary. It was one of those two dates, and all these people showed up to choir, and some of them had never even been in choir before, and so it was really a great, great marriage. But, you know, I would be dishonest to say to you that we haven't had challenges together as a music director in a congregation, because I think some people looked at me as an agent of change and maybe not as positive in change. And yet my heart, I can truly say to you, was very focused on not changing you, but growing with you. And getting past the demise of style and preference, and really experiencing the heart of God. I want to be careful not to bring too much emotion into it, but just not too long ago, it was Father's Day, and I was leading, and I can say to you folks that it was like I could almost see the presence of God over your heads. If there is a color to the presence of God, I saw that. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And I'm not being mystical with you. I don't consider myself a visionary, although I think I'm futuristic about where I'd like to see us go. But the Lord confirmed to me not too long ago about my calling 13 years ago here. And however long that lasts, I don't know. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that really, when I come out on the platform, I'm not so concerned about whether it's a gospel hymn or a classic hymn or a brand new chorus. It's the content by which I hope to lead us together, not lead you and I'm at a higher level, because I'm not. I'm probably the least holy one you have here in this staff. I think that I think that difficulties and trials make you a stronger person. And what I thought might be the most embracing of situations 13 years ago, in fact, really, really it wasn't. I experienced some things that I didn't know that some Christians really were quite possible of doing and saying things. And honestly, for the first couple of years, I would come out here and feel somewhat hurt because some people would say things to me, and I would have to then lead them in worship. And actually, some of them are still here, and a few even sitting here tonight. But I love you all, because it did start to create in me a greater sense of passion and character and a desire to bring us into the holy presence of God, not concerning ourselves with those kinds of things. Because when we begin to worship the music, we're stuck. We are just so stuck when we begin to worship the music or worship the people who lead. I'm not a very starstruck person, and I'm not sure how I arrived at that point, because I think sometimes we get starstruck and overwhelmed with people, and maybe the Lord just really instilled that in me. I'm not very starstruck with myself or any of us, because I just know how human we all are, and the closer you get to the top, the more human you see that people really are, and we all have the same basic needs in life. But one of them is the identity that we have individually and the identity that we have corporately. We all want to be something. We all want to be identified as something. And the only thing I can really say tonight, Don, is that I want to be identified as a person who truly goes after the heart of God, and a congregation that does. And I believe that this congregation sincerely prays and sincerely worships. And so through all the great successes and maybe even some of the great failures, and I know that some people don't always enjoy what we do on a Sunday morning, and you can never please everybody, and music ministry is one of those particular ministries where you just can't get to that 100% mark. But I do want to say to you that my motivation is to get us to that point as a congregation that your hearts really can be open to the Word of God. Because I believe that that's my part of the puzzle, or my part in the play, that we are opening hearts to receive the Word. Because the Word of God is the most substantial thing in any service. And the music does not override that. And any church that only survives on its music is a weak congregation. Yeah. I believe that with my whole heart, because the Word of God must be the sustaining aspect of that congregation. And so after you've been with a congregation for a long time, you come out with a sense of expectation. And I know so many of you so well that I'm just thankful to and grateful to have had as much time as I've had in leading, and that you come back every Sunday and worship the Lord. I say to the choir, you don't have to come back every Wednesday, but you do. And it's because of their love for the Lord and their love for each other. Amen. And our love for them.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for being transparent with us tonight. And thank you for the wonderful ministry that you provide for us every week. Thank you, Tom. And if you would be okay with it, we'd like to minister back to you this evening. I'd like to ask you and Darlene to come down front here, if you would, for just a moment. And I'm going to ask some of you, if you would, everyone stand with me, please. And we would suffocate these two if we all came forward. But I'd like for some of you to come forward and gather around Tom and Darlene and join in prayer with them and for them, that the Lord will give them their greatest days of ministry here at Central Assembly in the future, and pray that God will meet their needs as a family, as a ministry couple. Let's just all of us wrap our arms around them tonight and ask for God's blessings and God's touch upon their lives. Would you extend your hand this way as a symbol of your participation in our prayer for them tonight? Let's lift them up before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.